Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I'm up on a tight wire. Uh-huh. One side's ice and one is fire.
That's right.
It's a...
When I say low-hanging fruit, 720 WGN, John Landecker, 736. Nick Walenda is on the phone. I don't believe it. Good evening, Nick.
Good evening.
How many idiot disc jockeys have brought you on the air with Leon Russell's Tightrope? Just wondering. I mean...
Easily 100. Quite a few.
Yeah, well, that's why I called it low-hanging fruit. It's like, oh, Nick Walenda, let's do the Tightrope song. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Well, good. I got to tell you, I've been following your career for years, and I remember watching a special of some kind on your family, and they were demonstrating, your family was demonstrating, I guess you would call it, the initial introduction of a youngster in your family of walking on... Well, if not a wire, then a rope. And it was stretched between two trees. And it looked like maybe it was, I don't know, 4 feet off the ground. And it was the starting point for their eventual walks of who knows where. You know what I'm talking about, I hope?
Yeah, absolutely. So we actually start about 2 feet off the ground. And it's 2 feet. In our backyard.
Yeah, but, that's what I said.
Yeah, and I started walking a wire before my feet were on terra firma. My mom was 6 months pregnant with me and still performing on the wire. But I was about 18 months old when my mom and dad would grab my hand and hold it as I walked across the wire, a couple feet off the ground, and kept practicing and training. Yeah. And eventually here I am 42 years old and have had the blessing and the opportunity to walk in places that no one in the world or most people in the world wouldn't even dream of walking.
Or would want to, quite frankly.
That's right.
Seventh generation member of this legendary Walenda family. I mean, there are family businesses and there are family businesses. Yours is one of the most amazing, frightening, scary family businesses I can imagine. You have 11 world records. You've hung by your teeth from a helicopter. It's what a way to make a living.
Yeah, you know, it's what's interesting is that my great-grandfather probably said it best, but you know, in his book he said life is on the wire, everything else is just waiting. And for our family, It is truly a lifestyle more than an occupation or a career. As right. you mentioned early on in this story, we start walking wire at such a young age that it truly is just what we do. It's not as though it is like, oh, I'm going to try something crazy. I'm going to try to walk on wire. No, it's literally what we eat, breathe, sleep. I mean, I have three wires in my backyard now, one 800 feet long and one about 50 feet high and one about 12 feet high, that are shorter lengths for different types of training. But, you know, when we have a family reunion, we have chicken fights on the wire. It's just what we do. It's just what our family's done for so long that it truly is life. Again, yeah. It's not anything it's not like, hey, we're going to go risk our lives today. Hey, we're just going to go live life today.
Well, yes. Although when you go live life, you're also possibly risking your life. I mean,
yeah, that's very, very true. You know, look, I think the benefits of that is, you know, we certainly live our lives like every day is our last.
And I understand.
When you live like that, it's easier to love others. It's easier to look past others' faults. It's easier to forgive. And there's something very fulfilling about living life that way. And the reality is, look, none of us know when our last breath will be. So if we could all live that way, you know, I think that the world would go around much, much smoother than it does these days.
Well, I hope that people hear what you're saying, because it's a lot more than just walking on a wire. If I'm reading you correctly, you're talking about an approach to living, whether you walk a wire or not.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, that truly, we do what we do to inspire other people and encourage other people in ways that may be unique to them, but to prove that nothing is impossible. You know, we had a bad accident in 2017 where we were training for an 8-person pyramid world record. And after about 6 weeks of training in my backyard, we decided we were ready to take it up full height 2 days prior to premiering it in front of Guinness World Records and a live audience. And as we were making our way out on that wire, that the pyramid collapsed and my worst nightmare became a reality when five of my family members fell to the ground. And by the grace of God, I caught the wire and two others. But my sister and my aunt and some cousins were injured very severely. In fact, my sister was in a coma, broke every bone in her face, 73 screws and plates in her face. And, you know, I live every day with the motto of never give up. And I got back on the wire the following day and started performing and did so for about 6 weeks straight. And a long story short, my sister was able to recover, made it out of a coma, made it out of the wheelchair, began to walk again, and to the point where, talk about inspiration, but within 18 months of that accident that should have taken her life, she got on a wire three times higher, two times longer than anything she'd ever walked on over Times Square, and walked on that wire with me live on ABC. So really, I remember even in the hospital, she couldn't talk, her jaw was wired shut, and her saying that she wanted to get back on the wire already.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, it is truly, you know, again, we truly do what we do because we're passionate about it. But again, to inspire others, man, we all get knocked off the horse every once in a while. We have accidents. We have setbacks in life. And our hopes are that people see what we do. I believe prior to this pandemic, I believe that everybody's on a wire trying to get to the other side. Now we're all on this pandemic wire and we're all trying to get to the other side. And if we can use the analogy or if we can be a role model or an example of, hey, you know what, I made it across that active volcano 6 months ago. You can make it through this pandemic and you can make it out to the other side better than you were when you started.
Nick Walenda is with us and we'll do more. He's got a book, a new book, Facing Fear, Step Out in Faith and Rise Above What's Holding You Back. And I'd sure like to know what that is, and we'll find out when we come back on 720 WGN. Excited to have Nick Walenda on the phone. Or it's just wild that I'm talking to you because, for me, I've seen you do so many, and your family, do so many incredible feats of balance, of courage, if you will, of the concentration must be unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, that's definitely a key component to what we do is to being able to stay focused.
Yeah.
For instance, walking across Niagara Falls, you know, with all the distractions of Niagara Falls and for 30 minutes almost, you know, 25 to 30 minutes to stay sort of in the zone, if you will.
In the zone, yeah.
You know, it's something that I would say has been passed down from generation to generation. But again, it's a learned trait as well. I mean, it is something that we do train immensely to stay focused when we are preparing for an event like Niagara Falls. I'll walk on a cable an hour and a half without stopping so that, you know, I'm confident when I get there that evening when I'm going to walk across, let's say, Niagara Falls or the Grand Canyon, that that I will stay in the zone the entire time and not get distracted.
I'm guessing you have a crew that you put your entire trust in
to help set up
all of these events.
I do. I have an amazing team that surrounds me, my father being my head of safety and oversees all the rigging. One of my best friends is the head of rigging. My uncle does all of the engineering for my events, and then several other gentlemen that work with me. But I will tell you that I am very hands-on in every event. Yeah. I am there putting that wire up, whether it be all night long, setting wire up over Times Square or, you know, at the Grand Canyon. I'm very involved. And one of the main reasons is my great-grandfather lost his life to an accident. He fell off the wire in 1978 while walking between two skyscrapers in San Juan, Puerto Rico. And the main reason why he lost his life was because the wire was unstabilized properly. And he walked out. The wire was unstable. He did what he was supposed to do. He was 73 years old, but we've all been taught to go down to the safety of the wire and hold on and wait for help. And the reality is at 73 years old, we did several studies for a series that I had on the Discovery Channel. And what we learned from these geriatric doctor specialists were the fact that because he was 73, the amount of adrenaline that he experienced because that wire was rigged improperly that was going through his heart caused him to go into cardiac arrest, which is in the end what cost him his life. But in the thing that led to that was the wire being rigged improperly. And his main team who used to set up his wires weren't available, so he had sort of a second string of team members set it up, and in the end it cost his life. So the reality is, you know, it's very important that I am there, even though it is my father that's there, even though my uncle's overseeing it, my best friend. The reality is I like to oversee every step of the way as well.
Off the wall question, not about how you walk across Niagara Falls, but how in the world do you stretch a wire across Niagara Falls? I mean, how do you get the wire from one side to the other?
It's quite a challenge.
I'll bet.
It is done with a series of equipment called tensioners and pullers. Well, first off, a helicopter brings a very lightweight rope from one side to the other.
Gotcha.
And then it goes through a series of pulleys, and basically they work back and forth, and one small rope leads to a larger rope, which leads to the main cable.
Gotcha.
And then they pull the tension, and then taking it down is just the opposite of that. Same system, but in reverse.
Let's talk about the book you have here, Facing Fear, Step Out in Faith and Rise Above What's Holding You Back. Just tell us a little bit about what motivated you to write this.
Sure. Yeah, so I talked about that accident a little while ago where we were training for that 8-person pyramid. The pyramid collapsed and several family members injured severely. And I did what I thought was right, what we're all told, which is get back on the horse. I got back on the wire the next day and performed for 6 weeks straight, thinking that everything was good. And although I was not physically injured, what I didn't realize is I was mentally injured when that accident happened. So after those 6 weeks, I took some time off and then went back to the wire where we were going to recreate that pyramid again for a contract that I had signed prior, well before the accident. And as we began to train, I began to experience a form of PTSD. I was literally watching that pyramid fall in front of me. And it got to the point where I was physically trembling on the wire in training. And I finally went to my wife and said, you know what, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And I'll never forget that conversation. My wife comes from 8 generations of circus on one side, 7 on the other, holds a couple Guinness World Records herself for doing crazy things at crazy heights. And she said, look, I respect you in whatever decision you make, and of course I'll support you, but I want you to think back to your family history that dates back to the 1780s and the fact that they've lived by the words, the show must go on. Not only that, but you sign all your autographs, never give up, and you do what you do to inspire people that nothing is impossible. And I don't think that that is truly your heart's desire. I think you really need to dig deeper and figure out what's driving this fear that is overtaking you. And it was at that moment that it sort of set me into a tailspin, and I sort of reevaluated my entire life, and I kind of had to learn a trait that I had been taught at a young age and about how our mind can go places if we allow it to, and we can control our thoughts, basically. We can control where our mind goes, or we can cut things off. Our mind might want to go to a negative spot. We can cut that off, and we're in control of our minds. And the book is really the process, what I went through. And When I started writing it, it was in the middle of that mess that I was dealing with, well prior to this pandemic, where I believe much of the world is now facing fear on a daily basis. But when I started writing it, it was during that time of being in a valley. And one thing I've learned throughout my career is with the ups or with the downs, there's always ups. And in every negative place that I've been in my life, every negative experience I've had, I've always been able to look back and something positive has come from it, whether it's me learning something or you know, things come full circle often. So while I was during this time, I thought, you know, I'm going through this and so many people have looked up to me for inspiration. Well, I'm going to document it and hopefully people won't have to go as deep into that valley as I did. And really that's what the book was written to those people. Very practical. It talks a lot about healthy fears versus unhealthy fears. I think we all have a healthy fear, which is basically an experience of fear. It's sort of that fight or flight response. And then there's also an unhealthy fear, which is the emotion of fear. And that's the psychological response to uncertainty or danger. And that's really where a lot of our dysfunction begins, is in that unhealthy fear. It's, It's that fear that holds us back from pursuing our calling in life often. I think so many people settle for status quo, and the reality is they're made to do so much more. And my hopes are, again, as people read through this book, that these practical steps will help them maybe pursue their dreams, whether it may be pursuing a different job opportunity, or it might be having children, it might be climbing the highest mountain, who knows. But my hopes are that, again, through this experience that I went through, that it'll help others to overcome whatever fear is holding them back.
In the book, you talk about facing your fear, being bold, and actually calling your fear by name.
Yeah, I think there's something powerful. I think about eight, you know, there's a bunch of steps to it. So for me, I had to acknowledge that I was fearful. In fact, I was denying it for quite some time.
Sure.
I didn't realize that I was even trembling to the point on the wire where others could see. And at one point, a friend of mine came up to me and said, "Hey, what's going on with you?" And I remember saying, what are you talking about? What's going on with me?" Knowing what he was talking about. He said, "You're shaking on the wire. What's going on with you?" And so at that point, I started to experience shame, because I realized that all these people that look up to Nick Wallenda for being fearless now realize Nick Wallenda is not fearless. So I really had to dig deeper than the fear and deal with shame. And after I dealt with the shame, then I had to figure out what was causing that fear and then call that fear out. You know, I encourage people to write things down. And there was so much healing in just writing this book, to be honest with you.
You felt shame? You felt shame because you had fear?
Absolutely. You know, when you come from a family history and a legacy like I do, people don't think that you are, I mean, they don't think you're human often. In fact, there'll be times where I'll walk between a couple skyscrapers, come down to the street and sign autographs, and I'll have people literally touch me and go, "Are you real?"
Yeah.
So people think that they expect so much more out of you. But the reality is, look, we're all human. We all have faults. And we all deal with different situations.
Nick, I got to tell you, it's just so casual the way you throw it off. Like, you know, I'll be walking between a couple of skyscrapers and I'll come down. And it's like, you know, that's what everybody does, don't they? Yeah, sure. You know, it's just like wild to hear you. Not wild.
Well, you know,
it's not wild. It's reassuring to hear your calm description of this process as it relates to one of the most dangerous jobs on earth. And yet, you know, you're just taking it this is going to sound like a cliche, one step at a time, and, you know, taking whatever comes next, so to speak, doing the next right thing, if you will, trying to take the fear and turn that into faith, if you will.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That is exactly right. You know, when I travel through a city, when I'm on an airplane, that's often where these walks will come from. You know, I was on a plane to a corporate speaking event in Mexico City, and I flew over an active volcano, and that's when I came up with the idea of walking over a volcano. Chicago, I broke a couple world records between the Leo Burnett Building and Marina Towers there. And that was, again, me spending some time in the city and looking up and going, wow, that'd be a cool place. I could walk between Marina Towers 600 feet up blindfolded. You know, that's just the way our lives are as a family. We look for the next challenge.
COVID obviously keeps all of us from our main calling. Do you have plans? When, I know you're going to resume eventually, but do you have any idea that might be and where that might be?
Yeah, you know, it's funny how COVID, I see a negative, at this point in my life, I see negative situations as opportunities.
Yeah.
And when COVID began to hit and we first got shut down and quarantined, I immediately thought, you know, there's an opportunity here. And I actually created a performance with a bunch of my great friends. I have a bunch of amazing Daredevil friends. In fact, there's about 24 Guinness World Records combined on the show that I'm producing right now. And the reality is we're never able to perform together because we're always headlining on a different show somewhere. And I reached out to a bunch of my friends early on and I said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And they said, "What do you mean? What are we doing? We're being quarantined. We're not doing anything." And I said, "Well, why don't we all gather together and let's create a drive-in thrill show?" And we did
a drive-in thrill show.
So basically, you drive in, you see the greatest human cannonball in history. He has 4 Guinness World Records himself. I'm walking on a wire 80 feet up. We have FMX riders and BMX riders and guys on motorcycles on wires and you name it. My wife performing on these sky-high sway poles. And basically, you drive in with your car. It is a socially distanced parking space, so there's an empty space next to you. You tune into our closed-circuit radio station, you're able to watch an amazing thrill show from the comfort and safety of your car.
Where do I get to do this? I'm ready.
You know, so we opened in Florida. It was very, very successful, had incredible feedback, and we are now waiting for other states to open up a little bit more, and then we'll be heading on tour. So hopefully we'll be coming to Chicago at some point. I know it's certainly a city that's on my list.
Man, well, the book is Facing Fear, Step Out in Faith and Rise Above What's Holding You Back. It's available now from HarperCollins. Thank you so much, Nick Walenda, for being with us, and all the best to you and your family, and keep walking.
Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Sure. Nick Walenda. Wow.